This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There is nothing better than playoff hockey. And we are underway again! Score! Just to begin, 9 seconds in! We were wondering if the big weapons were going to put the puck in the net tonight for Dallas. Wyatt Johnston just did!
Wow, ESPN. Bob Mischusen with the call. Friend of the show.
Yes.
And the Stars get a big-time victory over Colorado in a game they never trailed.
Nope.
They led for all, but
they were only tied for 9 seconds.
9 seconds.
You're already going to get peeking his head up over here.
Oh, Reitma here. 6-2 Stars win, empty netter late. This game was outside of a small part of the second where Colorado cut it to 3-2. Right before the Stars had a late rush in that period, this game was never in doubt.
No, and I mean, it was, you mentioned, yeah, the Avs have their push there really quickly and cut it to 3-2. And for a Stars team that, I mean, how many times did we see at the end of the season them blow leads?
Yeah.
Like, just holding on to leads late was an issue for them. And so you get a little bit of that sense of like, all right, is this history repeating itself? Is this the same team we saw the last 2 weeks of the regular season? And then Wyatt Johnston, just like he came in and, you know, right off the bat scored, he gives the response and says, nope, we're not having a replay here. This is a game that we're going to be in control of. And I thought it was a great response and an opportunity where they could have really fallen apart. That felt like the contender that everybody's talked about the Stars being.
Yeah, that was
for much of the year.
That was the best team in the league last night.
They were really, really
good. Or one of them, you know. And Colorado's a really solid team. Like, there's, and they talked about this. I think it was PK talking about this in one of the breaks. Like, when they're on defensively, you can't beat them. And when they're missing assignments, and they're just a regular team, and that's what they were last night. And the Stars took advantage of it. And now they got two chances. They've got two chances to sew it up and move on to the next round.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, so to speak. But
I do. I love counting them first.
It's not a series where you feel like it's been fluky either. Like, this is a legitimate 3-2 lead, like you mentioned yesterday, with no Robo, no Miro. Like, that, it's something where you have to feel good about the way that they've played, being shorthanded, weathering the entire emotional boost that came with Landeskog coming back. And last night, it felt like you really got, especially in the first period, you really got finally that big advantage of what you thought you were going to get heading into the playoffs, which was Otter over Blackwood. Like, last night, you got it.
You
got that boost that you were expecting to have as the major advantage for a lot of the series that you didn't get totally early on.
9-for-13 from Wyatt Johnston at the faceoff dot. His 9 faceoff wins set a record for the most in a single playoff game in his career. A little note from the Hockey Hawk that he sent to us, but you know, look, that was
he was 9-for-13 from the faceoff.
Yes, he was. He was 9-for-13, 55%.
That's a callback to me not listening 2 weeks
ago. Right, absolutely. Stars 55% win rate right now in the faceoff. So they're going back on Thursday to Colorado. I really can't stand the playoff format though. Like, the winner of this series is going to get Winnipeg. Like, what? This is so stupid.
Would you rather, if we're going to talk about like legitimate, and the winner of the series is going to beat Winnipeg, by the way, Chop, okay? Because we're going all the way.
Well, because you also can't trust Hellebuck.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have I said that throughout the season?
You said it, a lot.
I mean, I've lost count. Would you prefer
I can't even say they should. They're going to get Winnipeg. I mean, it's tied at two.
Would you prefer the are these instances, obviously, with them being up, you'd feel this way, but where you feel like 2-3-2 is how you get a genuine advantage as a home team? As the home road setup, like the way they used to do in the NBA finals.
I like the 2-3-2. I'm a fan of the 2-3-2.
Like right now, you'd feel really confident if you knew, all right, Dallas has two shots to close this out. I don't know.
I think you do. As the home team, yeah, I know you could say that the three games in the middle is too advantageous to the road team to have three straight. But like it still gives you the two chances at home. So yeah, I hate getting on a plane. I think getting on the plane and flying up there and it just breaks it up too much. I would rather do the 2-3-2.
My high altitude.
The altitude change, yeah, all that stuff. So Stars get a big one. Big one, much needed. They could not have afforded to lose that game because you would have had to go back to Colorado. Mikko had a playoff career high with 3 points against the Avs. Made the seventh different player in NHL history to score a playoff goal against a team with which he tallied 100-plus postseason points, according to NHL stats. Good one. Good one from
it's pretty strong. Mika. And Money Pucks did 53%.
It did?
53%. The Stars are supposed to win this last night.
Look at that. Florida, they beat Tampa 4-2 last night in the NHL, so they go up 3-1 in that series as well. And the Panthers looking to go back to the Stanley Cup final again.
That's good for them. I didn't watch a second of it.
Did you watch a second of the Heat and Cavs?
I mean, I watched. I was more present for that game than the Miami Heat were, I'd say. I didn't watch a ton of the game. I popped in and I was watching a little bit of it early on in the first quarter, and that was
embarrassing.
They were talking about it on the TNT crew last night. That is some of the most disgusting lack of effort you could see from a basketball team. That Miami didn't care. They were ready to be done.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you get the 10th seed in the playoffs. You know, like that's going to happen. Yes. They were, 12 games under 500? They weren't going to compete that series.
Jared Allen in 25 minutes was plus 42.
Jared Allen in 25 minutes.
Plus 42.
That's good. 138-83, Cavs beat the Heat. It was 72-33 at the half.
It's not great. It's like Phoenix Suns in game 7.
Miami at one point was down 60. And they lose by 55.
Oh, 55. So they cut it.
Yeah, they cut into it a little bit. That was smart. That was good of them to cut into that lead just a bit. So that was that series, and the Cavs sweep it 4-0. Golden State up 3-1 on Houston, 109-106. Over the Rockets.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was the Golden State series has been fun. Jimmy coming back last night is a boost. I said it yesterday. I think the NBA playoffs in a lot of ways has been fun. Now, we've obviously gotten these one seeds just throttling the play-in teams with Cleveland and OKC. But I thought overall a lot of these series have been really, really good.
You think so?
Yeah. I've enjoyed watching Warriors Rockets. I've enjoyed watching the Pistons series. I've enjoyed watching Clippers Nuggets. That's been entertaining. Lakers has had some drama, even if it's 3-1 Minnesota. So I mean, I don't know. I've really enjoyed the playoffs to this point. I think it's been a solid week and a half here for the NBA.
It's hard to look at it like that with the fact that the series are all blowouts. Like the games have been okay.
Yeah, but
the series have there's not. The games don't seem like they have any stakes to them right now because of that.
Sure. Like, I mean, I get the aspect of if the series is a little unbalanced. But, yeah, I think, for instance, Knicks Pistons being 3-1, that's still been good basketball. It's still been entertaining basketball.
Dame is out.
Yeah, Dame with the torn Achilles. And it's weird. Has it flipped where – and, I mean, it was admirable of him to try and – fight his way back to get back after having the issues with the DVT. But, man, it's like that dude has just the worst run of luck. And I know a lot of people would say he put himself in that position by refusing to get out of Portland for as long as he did. But I do feel bad for him. He's one of these guys who I think is just, we're going to look back on as just like an all-time damn what could have been for that guy.
Yeah. I mean, they really might. They really might. And now the offseason is going to be all about what happens with Giannis. Like, is Giannis going to be there next year?
Hopefully he demands a trade to Dallas.
You think
play
so?
With his buddy Luka.
Yeah. I mean, that could be something.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Oh, wait. Luka doesn't play here.
No, he doesn't. You think he wants any part of Jason Kidd again?
What's that?
You think he wants any part of Jason Kidd again?
Probably not. But I don't know. Maybe he's maybe he eats a lot of veggies or something.
Yeah, so Nico will really push for him. Nico would really push for him.
Yeah,
I can see that. Tonight, the Bucks might get closed out. They play the Pacers on the road. Boy, you can get into that game for $40. $40. Knicks and Pistons. Knicks can wrap it up. The get in the door price for that series right now is $332 for tonight's game. We didn't talk much about it the other day. Was that did the Pistons get robbed?
I mean, yeah, they've been. I think the Pistons have played a series well enough that they should be tied up right now with the Knicks. They've given the Knicks hell, and so yeah. I mean, I think that they've been screwed a little bit. The NBA's had a bad run here. They just announced yesterday that Luka should have had a foul called. Should have been gone to the free throw line late against Minnesota. Didn't get the foul call. So they've had a couple in these last 2 minute reports that they've put out. A couple of these games late, they've had some missed calls. They got the big one right, the one that's been the big focus of the playoffs so far, the big moment. They got the Aaron Gordon dunk right at the buzzer beater. But, yeah, that was Pistons have got the screws put to them a little bit, I feel like, throughout the series. The Knicks have been getting some advantageous officiating.
Yeah, they have. Celtics and Magic, it's 3-1. They can wrap it up tonight as well. That's in Boston. And then tied at 2, Nuggets and Clippers.
Yep, that's been the best series so far.
The whole league.
Yeah, that's been the best series. That's been entertaining basketball the whole way. I mean, like I said, it's 3-1 right now, Knicks Pistons, but Knicks Pistons is right up there too. It's just some of the most entertaining basketball.
And then Denver, obviously. Look, I am so bored with the Clippers. I am rooting hard for Denver this year. I've got nothing for LA.
Yeah, I mean, I've always nothing hated the Clippers.
For them. They just do. I don't want to see James Harden get rewarded late in his career. I still want to see that. I like Kawhi, but Joker is a what?
I don't like Kawhi.
You don't like Kawhi?
No.
I like Kawhi the player. I think Kawhi the like not and I'm not even saying the person, but just the he's like the face of load management for me.
I just think of him as for so long he was the face of like the humble superstar, and I think we found he actually has a massive ego.
Oh, for sure.
I just love his game. I don't like the fake humility and the refusal to actually do his job a lot of the time.
No, yeah, I just love his game. And that laugh. The laugh is fun. Rangers in action last night. Could the bats come alive?
1-2 the count. Here's the pitch. Swing and a slow tapper right side. Urias is up with it. The throw to first just in time to get Harris. And the A's capture the opening game of this series as they hold on tonight to win by the final score of 2-1.
Hixey with a call in a game we heard right here. Rangers lose 2-1, like that score said. Despite, you know, that's not the worst effort for Patrick Corbin you're going to find.
No,
getting into the fifth inning, only allowing the two runs.
No, again, we talked about it yesterday. He's an innings eater.
Yep.
He's somebody who he's just going to be kind of a workhorse for you. So, yeah, into the fifth inning, when you're talking about a guy who gives up, what was the last night? 7 hits he gave up. He walked one.
Yeah.
He went first pitch ball on half the batters. Like, it's not great, but he's somebody absolutely valuable in terms of how he protects your bullpen and your rotation.
Look, man.
They've got to start hitting the ball.
Yeah.
This is getting really ridiculous. And now I believe, let me look real quick on ESPN. The Texas Rangers are in fourth in the AL West right now.
They've lost 3 straight. They've lost 5 of 6. They've lost 6 of 8. They've lost 7 of 10. And they just can't hit, man. They just flat out can't hit. These are the runs scored in the last few games. 1-2-2-2-3-2-8-0-4-0. They cannot hit the baseball. And sooner or later, we got to stop saying they'll come around.
No, I mean, it's the same thing we ran into last year, where early on in the season, you were going,
they'll come around.
They'll come around soon, right? The only difference here is they are still hitting the ball really hard, for the most part. They're hitting the ball hard. A lot of guys in the lineup are hitting the ball hard. It's just, it had, like, if you go look at their expected batting average or their expected OPS versus what they're actually doing, it should turn around for a lot of these guys. It just hasn't yet.
Yeah, that's inexplicable that it hasn't yet, but like you said, it should. Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Phantom. RJ, Chobby, Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside Sean out. It is paternity leave week again. You're did kidding. The Cowboys? No, I'm not kidding. Did the Cowboys not take a wide receiver in the draft because they knew they were signing one? That's next on the Fan. The critics are coming for Luka Doncic. You got the
Luke Doncha?
Luke Doncha, as Tillman Fertitta would say.
What an idiot.
Perhaps perhaps somebody's going to finally apologize to Nico. Not in this show, I can tell you that right now.
Hell no.
Not around here.
No,
somebody
no
might,
apologies.
But it won't be me. Somebody
no
might. Somebody
no might. Kevin. Yeah. Where would you say, in the history of, just briefly, because I know we're going to do Mavs next segment a little bit, or the Luka criticism, but I'm curious, where would you say Nico ranks in the history of sports hate that you've ever seen? Like, I'm sure you grew up a Yankees fan. I know Steinbrenner had hate at various points. We've seen Jerry have some. Like, is he the peak of sports hate that you've ever seen?
Fans love George for the most part because he won.
Yeah, but I just mean he had his pockets. Yeah. He had his pockets had where his they pockets. Despised him.
Look, Jerry's is very prolonged. But nothing has been the vitriol for Nico.
Nothing's been as intense.
As intense.
Like, I honestly don't think LeBron going back to Cleveland
no.
was this intense.
Going back to Cleveland?
Like going back to visit the next year as a guy with the Heat.
Yeah, LeBron leaving Cleveland was bad, but because a lot of it was the way he did it, too. This is, I mean, unless I'm just missing something. You know, now I'll tell you this. There's been a lot of college football SEC stuff that has been worse. But that's only because
y'all are a cult and you guys believe everything you do there is more important.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do. Like, especially back in the day, like, there was nothing else to do.
You know what there is to do, though? You can come out tomorrow to the Anna Fire Station.
Yeah,
you can do that. We're going to have the Firehouse Tour is back this week. This is stop number two on the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. You guys need to show up in big numbers there in Anna. We've not gone out to this direction yet. We've not gone out this far to Anna. And we hear that there's a lot of support. We've had a lot of people asking. So I want to make sure that you guys show up. You show out. We're going to have Zach Wolchuk with us. Nick Harris will be there on site with us. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll have breakfast from Whataburger. We'll have Tolo hats as well. Special Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps. So you're going to want to get those before they disappear. But if you're in Anna, Blue Ridge, Prosper, Melissa, McKinney, Princeton, Salina, anywhere like that, this is probably the stop for you. So that's 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna. That's 305 South Powell Parkway. And thank you to the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour partners. That's Whataburger, Fraser Roofs and Gutters, and Firehouse Movers.
Let's do it. I'm excited. So what is this? What is this wide receiver two news that came around yesterday?
So we will be able to ask, like I said, Nick Harris directly about this. Nick Harris, a resident of Princeton, will be driving up to join us during the expressway tomorrow. We'll have Nick Eatman a little bit later on, 9:20 today, to talk about this topic. But Nick Harris had written yesterday that while there's been some attention on the trade market and, you know, you've got these different names that people have speculated about. Could Dallas be interested in George Pickens? Where they call it, you know, Todd Archer reported they called about some AFC North receiver. He didn't say George Pickens, but a lot of people have figured that must have been George Pickens. But Nick Harris wrote that while there has been that focus there, there's still the availability of free agents. And he listed some potential options. Keenan Allen.
All right.
Nelson Aguilar. Mm-hmm. Robert Woods.
Okay.
However, there is building team interest in bringing free agent Amari Cooper back for a reunion in Dallas, according to a Star Telegram source.
Okay.
And I don't know
why. What happened?
Well, so here's the thing. I don't know if there's ever been, if you look at Amari Cooper and the way he left here, it was not the same intensity at all. So but if you want to talk about a 2 on a 10-point scale, it's a distant relative of people being upset about the Luka trade. Like a 2 on a scale of 10. Don't mistake me and say that it's in the same universe. But it's a distant relative somewhere on a... You look on the genealogy chart and you're like, oh, look, I'm related to the intensity of a Luka trade. People were furious when Cooper got traded. You were furious. I remember we were doing an event at Twin Peaks, Eat, Drink, Scenic Views. We were doing an event at the Twin Peaks in Burleson. And it was a fan event. And that was the day that Amari Cooper got traded, and you went on the fan roundtable and you blamed me
yeah,
for the poor return. You said I that
did. Yeah.
You exposed their business too much.
Right.
And you ruined the value they potentially could have gotten. Yeah. People are still upset. They will invoke the fifth round pick that you got back for Amari Cooper. Years later.
They should. It's your fault.
And this is one of the guys that they were absolutely enamored with here in Dallas. People loved him. They thought he was a straight shooter. He got here and he just changed the offense overnight in 2018. He talked so much about how badly he wanted to be a Cowboy. He was a free agent. Washington threw a ton of money at him. A ton. Way over what Dallas was going to pay. And he turned it down to come back to Dallas. And then things fell apart. And people, I think, felt like he was always unfairly scrutinized by the mm-hmm. organization. A lot of people always blamed it on the vaccine. That he didn't get the COVID vaccine and they were upset about it. And that's what ultimately ended things here.
Hmm.
They were not happy he didn't get it. That's true. Because they felt like it cost them his availability at one point in the 21 season. I think it was the Chiefs.
Yeah,
game.
Because as time went on, we've seen that, you know, if you get the vaccine, you don't get COVID again.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, that's probably why it wouldn't be as much of a sticking issue for them today. But at the time, they were upset with him.
Right.
I think you and Sean had, you guys, I've heard you guys tell stories of you guys being in Oxnard and getting the vibes out there, you know, talking to people at, you know, different parties and events and things like that, that, oh, yeah, they're not happy with Amari Cooper this year that he's in this position.
Right.
But I will say that the biggest issue to Amari Cooper leaving here, the biggest reason for Amari Cooper leaving here is no longer in the building, and that's Mike McCarthy's gone. Mike McCarthy didn't like Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper, I don't think, was particularly fond of McCarthy. And so that was...
What was the issue?
Two just different people, honestly. I think if they would have been able to get past some of their quirks the way that they are, I think they really would have liked each other. Because the issue was... Amari Cooper is so damn smart. He's really smart and things he's...
Is he a Y guy?
Yeah, he's so analytical and things have to make sense to him. He's like
a chess player.
He's a chess player. He's an engineer. He's like he's a...
Is he an engineer?
No, I'm just saying this is the type of like mindset I'm talking about.
I was like, dang, man.
Computer programmer. Like it's got... You can't just say, hey, Amari, I want you to do this. This is a big problem he had with Sanjay Lal, the receivers coach. So Sanjay Lal would say, you need to do this. And Amari would go, that doesn't make sense to me. So no. Or he would go, that doesn't make sense. Why? Why do I need to do this? Because I told you to. Okay, but what you're saying doesn't make sense, so I'm going to keep doing it this way. Because if you can't explain it to me, if you can't tell me why this is the best way to do it, I can't. And it wasn't, it's so difficult. It comes off as so difficult. And in the end, it is, I guess. But in reality, it's just, that's the way he is. He needs it explained to him. It's got to make sense. Because if it doesn't make sense to him, he can't fathom, why would I do that? That's not the right way. So, think about Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy is very much about, hey, I told you to do something. Do it. Don't you know, question me. Don't be insubordinate. Don't push back.
Mm-hmm.
So that naturally created problems, I think, where when Mike McCarthy wanted something or had a vision for the offense or there was something along those lines, then there was a resistance at times from Amari because it wasn't explained to him. I also think McCarthy hated how frequently he wouldn't practice.
Well, the practice thingy, that was, I don't know why I said thingy there. you know, it's one thing leaving Italy. Like they put, if Peyton, did you notice this when you were there? They put an A on the end of every word. You want a drink? Yeah, the beer.
It's for the accent.
It's everything has an A on the end, like literally everything. The bathroom.
It sounds like that's a cousin of Valley Girls.
They're singing.
Like they put an A on the end of it instead of a question mark, yeah. Like Valley Girls do.
Yeah. Yeah. They sing everything. They sing everything there. I hated the he doesn't like football. I hate that guy. I hate the guy who says, "Oh, does he love football?" You know, you don't have to love your job to be great at it.
Well, and I think he's...
Do you think people who have, that are great at, like, really difficult jobs, like manually tough jobs, do you think they love their job? Or do you think it's a job? Like, they're good at it.
Well, and I think he's also just... I think he's so academic about the job. Like, and he views it as such a... Like he's almost like a professor or a researcher or something, where it's just like, it's all... Did you ever see the movie Oppenheimer?
No.
Okay. Well, in the movie Oppenheimer, they talk about how he's so brilliant and he understands everything, and he sees things in a way that so many other people didn't. But like his lab work and some of the other things he did, he didn't have a love for the lab the way he needed to, but it all made sense to him, and he was fascinated by it and wanted to make sure that the science was correct. And for Amari Cooper, I think it's science to him. It's stuff that makes sense. He's obsessed with how does it work and how does it function at its best? Is he like, man, I love playing ball. I could go play ball in the backyard and sandlot football and stuff like that? No, there's not that. I do think he loves the game. I just think his love for the game is expressed differently than somebody else. Yeah. Who's just like, man, I love ball. I could do any. And I think that's hard for guys like McCarthy who have that headbutting. Mm-hmm. Now, this staff, I think Schottenheimer, who never got a chance to work with Amari Cooper, I think Schottenheimer would really respect Amari Cooper and really like the way he goes about his process.
You know, it would be a really good fallback option.
Is a fallback option from what, though?
From taking somebody in the draft.
So, like, we're already past that. So, you're not talking about fallback option from exploring a trade or other free agents?
No, I'm talking about for the draft.
Now,
they could get somebody younger, you know, like, because I don't know, how much does Amari have actually left?
So, that's the thing. One of the big things we talked about at the end of last season, you remember this, was
I do.
What's going on with Amari Cooper in Buffalo? Like, is he like
was a mid-year trade?
But he's shown before mid-year trade, he can walk right in and he was fine.
Yeah.
And this was something where he walked right in and, you know, he contributed. Very first game there, 4 catches, 66 yards, 1 touchdown. And then he's inactive a couple weeks later. And then he was inactive the final game of the season. And if you look at, he was on the field for 80 snaps in the playoffs. And he just, I mean, he wasn't a factor at all. And there's a lot of people, the word from a lot of people, it feels like, around the league heading into this offseason was they thought he was cooked. And I don't know how much it is that he's cooked. He's always been banged up. He's always had health issues. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who is still, he's going to be 31,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously not, it's no spring chicken. But, I mean, he is somebody who should have something left. There should be something you can tap into there. And he is still such a precise, incredible route runner.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'd be down with it. I would be down with it if they were able to do that. It would take away some of the sting of not getting a wide receiver.
Would you rather have Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper?
Amari.
Okay. Because Keenan Allen has remained productive consistently.
I would assume it's just easier to get back in kind of in tune with Dak.
There's that, and I would feel like Keenan Allen's a possession receiver to me. Like, I want somebody who's...
Need.
I want somebody who's going to get me some separation.
Yeah.
I want some clean windows.
Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. The critics are coming for Luka. Will we start to see Nico's side of things next in The Fan? Massive win for your Dallas Stars last night as they take a 3-2 series lead over the Colorado Avalanche with a 6-2 victory, Bobby Belt.
Yep, they were in control in this one. This was a game that, you know, the moment you started to kind of feel it slip away in the second period, they bounced back. They answered really quickly. And, I mean, just overall, great game from Wyatt Johnston, obviously. Otter was really strong in this one, you know, protecting things in that first period where when you get those two goals, I mean, that easily felt like a game that could have been 2-2. Yeah. After the first period, but he did a really good job protecting some of those opportunities that Colorado was in position for. And then even once they scored those two goals, like we said, Wyatt Johnston comes right back, a minute later, with the goal to put him up 4-2, give him some...
They scored two goals in what, the final minute 44, or in a minute 44 stretch of that second, and it was huge because Colorado had all the momentum at that point.
Yep.
They had cut it to 3-2. And it was like, I saw people on Twitter saying, oh, here comes Otter choking one away. And I'm like, oh, don't say that, man. But, I mean, it creeps into your head a little bit. But the Stars had led coming into this game for 62 seconds of the series. It was tied at 2. They had led for 62 seconds. And here they led for dang near 60 full minutes.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a great performance. And it's something where you hope that, all right, is this enough that you can just go ahead and finish this off? You don't even have to come back to Dallas for Game 7. But if you do have to come back for Game 7, you know what's going to happen, Chop? You're going to win. Because Pete DeBoer doesn't lose Game 7, okay? That's just what he does.
Well, he also, that means you'd be coming off a loss. He's 13-5. off a loss in the playoffs.
Then I hope we lose.
As the Stars head coach.
Just so I can guarantee a win.
Don't put that out.
It's a joke.
Don't put that out. Don't even joke. You already said it. It's out there.
Okay, well then I guess I'll just stick to it. Y'all are so...
Say it. What? Say it.
Y'all are stupid. Oh, but you two. Oh, you two are.
You know what? This is why Peyton, I got you the best gift.
It's a game 7 joke. You dorks.
I got you all a little something
Josh
special.
Clark, did
you? Yes. Oh. Was it special? I just got you something to let you know that I was thinking about you.
Did you do a bit? Are they like bit gifts? Like explanations for them?
So I tried. I had a bit gift for Peyton, and I had a bit gift for you. It was tough to find one for Sean.
They didn't have mittens?
No, you know what they had? I almost got this for Sean. They had, so you know the Statue of David,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the famous statue, right?
Yeah.
And they're all naked.
Yeah.
So they have an apron with just the junk there. Oh. I almost got that for Sean.
That would have been funny.
It would have been funny. I was like, you know, I don't know. Like, does he wear aprons? Is he going to take this as a slight? That means he has a small tallywhacker. Is he going to take that as the implication? So I was like, you know what?
I mean, it's a joke.
It's a joke. Obviously,
all praise
it's a joke.
To Allah.
It's a joke. So, but yeah, I got you. It's very small. It was very small. I was just like,
we've all seen the statue.
To let you know that I was thinking about you guys while I was over
we've
there.
We've all seen the statue. We know it. We know it's a small gift.
It's a small gift.
Yeah. Who's complaining about Luka Doncic? Chop.
Man. So the stats that are coming out about Luka, and I got to push back on some of these. All right. And there's some people posting on social media that, you know, like this is the first, you know, as these fans of the Lakers are finally watching Luka in a playoff series, right? We watched him, you know, very, very closely. And you know, you don't watch players that aren't on your team as closely. And they're basically saying it's no secret at the end of games, his conditioning is an issue or whatever. And I'm like, dude, he played 46 minutes. To me, this is on J.J. Redick. Peyton, how many substitutions in the second half of Game 4 did J.J. Redick make?
I'm going to go with 2.
0.
Oh.
The starting 5 played the entire second half for the Lakers.
Everyone, good.
Like, okay, LeBron's a freak. Let's not compare him to Luka. He is a athletic freak. Everyone would be gassed at the end of that game. Everyone.
Yeah.
When you play 24 straight minutes, he sat for 2 minutes the entire game. Everyone would be gassed.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. Okay, so Luka goes 1 for 6 in the fourth quarter the other night. But Austin Reeves was 2 for 7. LeBron was 0 for 2. There's plenty about that performance the other night that just says the Lakers in general were gassed.
When you outscored them 36-23 in the third, every single one of those 5 starters should have sat for the first 2 minutes of the fourth.
I mean, look, that's
just give them a break.
It's, you know, they've typically done. I'm trying to look here. I want to see what his range filter has looked like in the fourth quarter of these games, where he's basically like drill it down to just the fourth quarter. And I want to see how he's performed whenever it's just been he's gotten at least some amount of rest. Like in the game, because that was all but 2 minutes he was playing. And in the other games, it's 6 minutes more. That's a whole half of a quarter longer than he's typically played throughout the series. Like, for instance, if you look the other night, he played 9 minutes in the fourth quarter in game three. In game two, Luka played 9 minutes. So that's kind of been his standard. And then in game one, he played 8 minutes. So he typically does not play more than 8 or 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. And they had him out there for all 12.
It's just the way, you know, kind of the way. Now, listen, he has his problems. There's no doubt. He's got his faults, and he has to be called out for some of them. I just don't think conditioning, and when you play 46 minutes, I don't believe you can call out conditioning. You want to call it his defense? You got to call it out. They are 14th of the 16 NBA playoff teams in defensive rating at 119. That would be 28th worst in the NBA, slightly worse than the Wizards. With Luka on the floor, their defensive rating is 122. And the higher the number, the worse.
Yes.
So, like, a 100 is...
That number represents how many points do you give up per 100 possessions.
Right. So, if it's 122.6 with Luka on the floor. With Luka off the floor, it's 108.8 in the postseason.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt. Look, he is a bad defensive player. We know this.
He is a half-hearted defensive player. When he has, when he locks in,
and he's how are you not locked in the playoffs?
Right, but you know what I mean. Like when you're locked in on that side of the floor, like because a lot of people feel like he expends so much energy on the offensive side, then he gets gassed. But if you want to talk about staying locked in, when he's been asked and like really, he's got the size, he's got the strength to be able to be a decent defender. It's just a matter of how frequently how often is he exerting himself on that end of the floor at the expense of the offense?
Yeah.
Now you mentioned in this Zach Lowe, who recently rejoined the Ringer after leaving ESPN. Zach Lowe absolutely torched Luka on his podcast the other day and sounded very similar to Nico Harrison.
He needs to be torched for his defense. I don't believe when you play 46 minutes, you can call him out for conditioning, though. That's just me.
Yeah, or how much do you really want him? Again, I get the idea of how much do you want him expending himself on defense going super, especially if you've got him playing 46 minutes. He's going to be gassed. He's going to go 1-for-6 in the fourth.
46, the conditioning aspect, that's on the coach to have him out there 46 minutes. The defense, that's on him.
Yep. Now, here's what Zach Lowe had to say.
Why do you have to get humiliated at the beginning of every single playoff series before you show the world, like, yeah, I can actually put in a little bit more of an effort on defense? Because if you go back and you watch game 1 and 2 of that Phoenix series, he is so bad defensively that it's laughable. And then all of a sudden, he becomes passable. And yet again, here we are. We're 4 games into this series, and he's just helpless. I've said before, like, I wouldn't have done the trade. Almost no one in the NBA would have done this specific trade. You can find corners of smart NBA people, team people, who would tell you the idea of getting out ahead of this and trading Luka is not a crazy idea. The idea of doing it without shopping him to get 9 first round draft picks and swaps and doing this specific trade is where the logic falls apart. I still think it's a crazy trade, but I'm just tired of, like, I'm going to be embarrassed until our backs are against the wall. And then I'm going to show you that, yeah, I can put up a little bit of a fight. How about you put up a f-ing fight in game 1 of the second round? And now you're down 3-1 and you're probably going home.
All right, fine. I understand what he's saying, but I also think it's hilarious that nationally, it feels like every year at the playoffs, like, this is their first time seeing Luka.
Right.
Like, you got, like, him going, come on, can you believe this effort on defense? Or Windhorst, like, oh my gosh, he's complaining to the officials. Yeah. Like, do y'all watch him?
No, that's the thing. And that's the issue that I always bring up when fans, media, whatever, complain about fourth down calls by the coach or clock management. We don't watch the other teams closely enough, right, with a fine-tooth comb, to be able to accurately get a gauge on how other teams and other coaches handle clocks and handle fourth downs. So I think it's a stupid discussion to have during the course of a season. Just like this, right? You know, do you not watch? Of course not. Like, they don't pay attention to every player the way they would, you know, someone in their city.
It does give you an opportunity, though, I guess, if you don't want to pay the contract, you don't want to lock in on the contract, then it gives you a chance to just review some things. And you said, Chop, that I saw your email last night that men are now engaging in similar tactics when approaching their life partner, that they're saying, hey, I need to be able to review this every 4 years.
Yeah, that is the 4-year wedding contract. I saw this one. Men are asking women for NBA-style 4-year marriage contracts. If we don't want to renew, we become a free agent. This was actually started by a comedian.
This sounds like an Andrew Tate thing.
Yeah, it was started by a comedian. And it actually is kind of taken off, where men in certain parts of the U.S., certain parts of the country, are trying to get their girls to sign these wedding contracts. 4 years, and then we just walk away.
What are those vows? So instead of till death do us part, what do you say? As spelled out in the terms of this contract over the next 48 months, or what?
Yeah, so imagine. One of the things is saying, Dad, could you imagine your kid saying, Dad, are you going to sign an extension with Mom? and then, like, or you get, like, this Luka-style trade.
Chop's just like, look, her conditioning. I'd say we don't like some of her diet habits. You know, we wish she wouldn't just show up in contract years. So, like, when we're in the contract year, all of a sudden she's initiating.
It's a prenup with stakes. It's a prenup with stakes. Like it's like the both parties get into shape during a contract year.
Yeah,
like they put on their best.
You're married
best
to Albert Hainsworth. Yeah. Just wrecking shot. Yeah. Like holy cow, where'd you learn that?
So this is great. This is great. 30 to 35% of first marriages end in divorce, but with each subsequent marriage, it increases to 60% and then 73% for the third marriage.
I am always, I've always been anti-prenup, the idea of, well, this should be like any other contract and just have a shorter terms. Like to me, it's just, it is what it is. And either you want that and you want to be part of it or you don't. And so I always think the half measures are funny to me.
They are. But this is
you want it both ways. That's all. You want to be able to have your cake and eat it too. Like I need my option years here.
Your option years. Yeah, you need your option years. That's exactly what this is. You want to have a walk year. You want an option year. You want to have them in a contract year. You always want to be in a contract year.
Yeah.
Or you want your players to be in a contract year all the time. That extra added intensity.
Yeah. Like, do you want the super max or not?
Right.
Well, how about you start jogging a little bit?
Oh God. The Rangers bats need an injection of life. 7 a.m. hour coming up next. How the Cowboys offense is going to look a little different from Mike McCarthy's. We've got the commercial free expressway. We got Ask Reddit. We got a ticket giveaway. 7 a.m. hour next in the Fan.